to get this off with a two-minute warning. Little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted! It went right through Jeffrey's hands! It's Lattimore!
Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
What's wrong? What's, like, are you eating something? Why is your mic, like, 100 times deep, your voice 100 times deeper than normal?
I don't know. I'm a little sick. I have a little cold.
You sound so weird.
Is it deep, sexy deep, or, like, no?
Oh, no. It's what's the opposite of sexy?
is it Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born? Because I found that really irritating.
It's Gary Cooper, present day.
Okay. Can we start with a bit of housekeeping?
Yes.
All right. So I have three topics to discuss. Topic number one is Adam Gase. I listened to your NAP podcast with Rob, where you are super anti-Adam Gase.
Yeah.
And I just need to point out, and, you know, longtime 32 Fans listeners will recall that in Adam Gase's first season as the coach of Miami, you predicted the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl.
Yep. Famously.
So how are you turned on him so dramatically?
I mean, you look at the totality of what he did in Miami, and what is his resume? Like, what? His first year was good, but they got progressively worse. It seems like the good players hated him to the point where, like, Ajayi gets booted out of town. Kenyon Drake.
Is it possible they were just afraid of him? I mean, you've seen his eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible. And one thing that somebody like you, a Midwesterner, won't appreciate is a team, especially dumb teams like the Mets and the Jets, the media controls them. Like, the media can hire and fire coaches for the Mets and the Jets without question, and guilt the teams into signing different specific players. So Gase was bad with the Miami media, which is like, you know, like the like one dork from the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald. Like, you know, and coming to a town where there's dozens of guys there every day, he's going to be so in over his head. Like, he had some bad moments in, you know, especially talking about the famous one where he's talking about Tannehill, where he just like loses his mind after a big win, loses his mind. I just think, like, in DVOA, they were falling. They were, like, the last 2 years, they were something like 25th and 27th overall. They had kind of a league average, you know, at worst, like, 19th best quarterback, and he wasn't really able to, you know, Tannehill wasn't really able to grow at all under Adam Gase. Like, I don't understand. I like the idea of him. The young coach who immediately gets fired and rehired, it just reminds me of Mangini, where, like, they don't have it the second time. Rex wasn't so young, but, like, Rex also, like, these guys needed a couple of years to go back and be a defensive coordinator under a really good coach, or an offensive coordinator under a really good coach, right? And, like, I don't think he learned from his mistakes, whatever they were. And I don't know why he's, all of a sudden going to become good. I said, like, if he's smart, then the first day called up Jamal Adams, who is the clear leader of the team, and, you know, he calls up Darnold, who he spoke to. They made a big deal that, like, oh, we didn't hire him before he spoke to Sam Darnold on FaceTime. It was a 10-minute conversation. And, like, the team made a big deal that he spoke to Sam Darnold before they hired him. And, like, Darnold gave the stamp of approval. Like, your quarterback, who, listen, I love with all my heart.
Yeah, he's 21 years old. What does he know?
I know. Like, he's a 21-year-old kid who was one of the worst QBs in the NFL this year. Let's not have him make decisions. But he's probably smarter than the Jets owners, so... It's like the blind leading the mediocre QBs. Like, it's, I don't know, it's a mess. Can we rank quickly the eight coach hires, because they're all eight, you know, they're not all official, but they're all sort of locked in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reticent to rank them yet because we don't know anything about any of them. But what you?
Yeah, but at least rankings. Like, I'll have a take on the record, and then, like, I can look smart or more likely stupid when they blow up.
Okay.
I think number eight has to be Zach Taylor. The Bengals, like, they're very cheap, right? They're not going to spend the money on a coach that most other teams do. I'd imagine Marvin Lewis was probably making below what, you know, he'd be making on any other team. Zach Taylor's 35. He's our age. He wasn't even the coordinator, right? Sean McVay's the coordinator in L.A. He was the quarterback's coach. I always yell about teams hiring one-year coordinators. I want guys who...
callers.
You want a guy who's been calling plays for... two, ideally 3 years. Ideally, he's been on two teams, so he knows, like, all right, this is the best of what Coach A did, and this is the best of what Coach B did. Like, you be in two different systems. If it's one pro, one college, great. Sean McVay is a savant. Like, yes, you could, I'm sure, learn a tremendous amount. It's like going to a great graduate school for a coaching. But, like, you can't take McVay's brain with you. So, you know, the fact that nobody else was even interested in interviewing Taylor, to me, just, you know, shows me that he was true. The interim OC.
Quite a few of these jobs were given to guys who there's no chance had any other reviews. Like, I mean, Freddie Kitchens was not considered by any of the outset.
Right, right. That has to be a red flag. I agree. I'd say seven, probably the Dolphins hiring the Patriots defensive coordinator Flores, who's not even, I think, even official the defensive coordinator. I'm not
but,
sure.
But I mean, Bill Belichick's coaching tree has had such success.
So. Yeah, I mean, like he had 1 year. Is this the only minority hire, by the way, of the eight guys? I'm not sure.
And is Flores minority?
I guess I'm honestly only guessing based on the name. There's definitely no African American hires.
Yeah.
Brian Flores is African.
But again, I mean, how can you consider an African American coach when there's these eight amazing white coaching candidates?
It looks like someone like Caldwell, who got like four interviews, did not actually get a serious consideration. Flores, I don't know much about him. I'm not going to pretend. But really, he's a linebackers coach. That's the second guy who's getting hired. He's a position coach. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Right? Gaze would – I'd have six. You could definitely make a case for him higher, but I'm not, you know.
So here's the thing, the
Jets GM is about to enter year five where they haven't made the playoffs. If the Jets go 4-12 in his first year – and ostensibly that means that the $100 million in cap room that Mike McCann, the Jets GM, had blew up on him, I think he gets fired. And then, like, a new GM might come in and fire Gase. Like, Gase, if he has a terrible first year, is a serious candidate.
If I put the over-under on Sunday night after week 17 of the 2021 season, so 3 years, will Gase be the head coach of the New York Jets past that
So date? Does he survive Black Monday of his third season?
Year. Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
That's not great.
Not great. I'm going to say no. I mean, he only survived 3 years the first time.
I made a chart last year, and then I updated it, and I actually tweeted it out after they hired Gase last week. Mm-hmm. Of every time an NFL head coach has lost his job and then had a second chance, sort of like the Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll model.
Yes.
So 32 times an NFL head coach got fired from his first job, and in his first job he never made the playoffs. Or if he finished cumulatively under 500. So 32 times the Adam Gase's world got a second try. Mm-hmm. How many of those 32 coaches won more than one playoff game for their second team?
I'm going to say one.
No, so it's 5 of 32. It's Marv Levy, who was the coach for like second on the Colts. Mike Shanahan, who was the coach on the Raiders and the Broncos, and then, of course, the Washington.
Right, but the Raiders firing, if I remember correctly, was silly. Like, it wasn't a deserved fire.
Yeah, it was a personal. Yeah. Gary Kubiak, who you know, was the coach at Houston, and then he won the Super Bowl. Yeah. And now he's.
But when he was a coach of Houston, it was still sort of a. Like, he did an objectively good job with Houston.
Yeah, they created that 2014 season when Shaw got injured and everything fell apart. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Jack Pardee and then Bill Belichick. So that's the whole list.
What about Carroll? You didn't say Carroll.
It's 5 out of 32. Well, Pete Carroll actually had more success in his first try. I'm talking about who failed the first time.
No, Carroll went 6-10 in his first job.
Hold on.
Carroll was the Jets coach and went 6-10 in one season, and they had the fake spike game, and they lost that. They were 6-5 playing for the division lead. They lost the fake spike game. They didn't show up in December. They went 0-4, and then he got fired at 6-10. I am quite certain. Now, maybe it's messing up your ranks because
because Pete Carroll failed his second time also.
I got it.
I'm talking about the first time to the second time. Yeah, he failed with the
Jets.
But
when you
Patriots.
Say failed, he went 10-6, 9-7, 8-8. Like he was actually, and they made the playoffs 2 of the 3 years and won a playoff game. Like
they
he didn't
won
do a bad job
game.
In New
so
England.
So I said won more than one playoff game.
Okay, fine. Got it.
I mean, if a coach wins one playoff game in his tenure, I don't know if you would consider that a success.
No, but in 3 years, and he had no losing seasons. Like, you know, he
finished well. Anyway, so it's not a high success rate, but all right. So who do you have as the fifth worst coach? Because you haven't even got to Kitchens yet.
Kitchens. The one thing is, Kitchens sort of deserved the job based on what he did with their offense. Like, it did just look objectively better once he was out of the picture. Now, the upgrade from you to anybody should be. You know, the famous, like, Raheem Morris bump, right? But, like you said, nobody was fighting for him. He probably got a relatively cheap deal. I mean, Bill Simmons, like, why'd they hire Kitchens? Who was fighting for Kitchens? Well, like, what do you want him to do? Like, keep him as an interim for 2019? That would be nuts, right? Like, got to hire somebody. They weren't going to hire Greg Williams. You may as well keep it in-house. You know, maybe this works with Baker, and then Baker sort of has some stability as he builds his career. Four Eye Vic Fangio did a great job, probably deserved a gig a couple times in his career, but I don't like hiring old first-time coaches. You know, especially with a young coach, like this is the Bears are not necessarily 1 year away unless Mitch Trubisky makes a jump. Where
well, hold on. I'm going to step in here. I agree and I disagree. I mean, like you look at Mike Zimmer, for example, with the Vikings. He's been pretty successful. Now Fangio was even older than Zimmer.
How old is Zimmer?
I would guess when he got hired, he was 58, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and 58 Fangio's is
like 62 or something.
Yeah, I think Fangio's 60 now. Yeah, he's going to be it's his first season going to be his age 61 season. Zimmer's 62 now, so yeah, he was about 58 when he got hired, or 57 maybe. That's really touching. Over 55, I think. I mean, just, you know, think about the people in your life who are over 55. Like, they start to slip a little, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, your
Zimmer had been a defensive coordinator for 14 years.
Okay, so Fangio's also, like, he deserves the job, right? He was the coordinator for, like, the Panthers NFC Championship team in the 90s, and the Colts Peyton Manning team, and the Texans, like... He's got an amazing resume.
Why didn't
resume.
He get a chance all, you know, 10 years ago was the question.
Right. If it was an obvious thing, and he's always been a defensive coordinator. 1 year he was a linebackers coach, but he's essentially, other than when he was on the Ravens, he's been a defensive coordinator since 95. He's been a linebackers coach in the NFL since 86 without any break. That's crazy. And, you know, he's been with both Harbaughs. He's been with Nagy and Fox. Like, he's got a lot of good coaches around him. I don't know, like, what's the long-term plan? You almost need, you know, so the Cardinals hired Arians, which I actually have that. I found you at four, Arians at two. The Bucks, excuse me, hired Arians. It seems like Bowles, who's the defensive coordinator, is almost like the backup coach. You know what I mean? Like, and Arians has a different issue, which is he's had major health issues. They made him even take a physical before they gave him the job. But I don't know who, like, sort of Fangio's backup coach is. But there's almost a coach. Not that Bowles is a great coach, but he could, you know, he's certainly the type of guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. You know, coaches usually don't last more than 3 or 4 years anyway. So if
it's a fair point. But here's my point. The real organizations, which, you know, New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Seattle now, they've had the same coach for 15 years. You want to, I mean, Cincinnati did too, but not because of their success. You want to have a coach forever. So... I don't know. I like starting at 60 means you're only going to have a coach for 5-6 years if you're lucky. So yeah, I have. So that's Fangio at four. Arians was at two. But in between them, I have Kingsbury. The downside is insane. I mean, he could go in 3-13 and be back as a college offensive coordinator by December, right? For like the Bowls next year.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see him draft Kyler Murray and they dump Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's possible. It wouldn't be crazy. I do think like it's a sunk cost. Like if Rosen was in the draft again. Not saying he's a bust, but he would not go in the top 10 if he was somehow able to re-enter the draft right now, right? So.
Yeah, I don't know. I just we've learned our lesson the last couple of years with Goff 2 years ago and then with Trubisky last year. So I'm not jumping to any conclusion yet about it.
Okay. And to me, the guy I wanted the Jets to hire who they didn't even seem to consider was Matt LaFleur. Yes, the Titans offense was not great this year, but you look at their roster, they had nobody. He is really like a guy who, you know, should get more of a benefit for actually being an offensive coordinator around McVay, going somewhere we could call the plays. And if you watch the Titans, like, did they impress you with what they did? No, but he got better as the season went on. Derrick Henry ended up rushing for 5 yards a carry for the season when his career looked over. And every play, they came out with interesting formations. Like, yeah, they were playing freaking with Blaine Gabbert a lot of the season. So they weren't supposed to score any
points. We had ranked the 8 open jobs before any of the hirings came and went.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think LaFleur would have considered the Jets if he could go to the Packers? Probably not.
No. Why would you? No, of course you want to work with Rodgers. Like, you know, like your basement is so, like, you have freaking Aaron Rodgers.
So I'm saying, so you can't blame the Jets for that one.
No. But I also, like, I mean, the Jets didn't seem interested. So I have LaFleur at one. But again, none of these blow me away at all, right? The thing that would have blown me away is going out and getting, you know, David Shaw, and Matt Rhule, and Monk, like some of those guys. Monk didn't get a job.
At a certain point, David Shaw's not coming to the NFL, right? And we just have to realize.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I don't think he's going to come. I here's the thing: the college coaches, if you go 8-4 every year, and you mix in one, you know, Rose Bowl trip, if you're in the Pac-10 every 6 years, you could keep that job forever. Whereas, unless you work for the Bengals,
at Stanford, you can't. Yeah, there's some places where 8-4 gets you fired. But
yeah. Right. No, well, Alabama, you're not going to stay forever. But in a lot of these Pac-10 jobs, like if you're a nice guy and the fans like you.
No, there's no upside to come to the NFL.
Yeah, there's none. Which is and if
I mean, Saban learned that the hard way. A lot of these guys learned that the hard way.
We know what college coaches make because they work for public institutions, and we don't know what NFL coaches make because they work for private companies. Right, we have no idea. Belichick might make $25 million here. Who knows? People guess he makes like 12, but it's a complete guess. But college coaches make just as much. Like Matt Rhule, the Baylor coach that the Jets seriously considered hiring, was making close to $4 million already and probably squeezed out another couple hundred grand just, you know, to twist his arm to stay in Baylor. That's the Baylor head coach, was making as much as like the low-level NFL coaches. Yeah. So really to get a guy who's making five, like a serious coach that people have heard of, you probably have to offer him seven or eight. And even then, you know, if I was his accountant, I think you could make a case that just stay and keep making five forever rather than making seven for 3 years and then, you know, having to go back all over again and start at like Bowling Green. And, you know,
well, I think any high profile college coach who fails the NFL can go right back to a big high profile.
Probably, but not if you embarrass yourself. Like, I'm sure Ben McAdoo thought, I mean, like, even, oh, you
like
know.
Dave Wannstedt ended up at Pitt, right? Which is still, you know, maybe not a top 20 job.
But Wannstedt didn't embarrass himself. If you embarrass yourself in the NFL, you sort of become toxic.
Well, like Petrino Jackson, embarrassed himself. Saban, you could argue, embarrassed himself.
Who?
Saban.
No, Petrino. Saban didn't go 2-14. Petrino embarrassed himself for sure, but and you know, he
come a little while.
But Petrino also left sort of before the wheels, like the wheels fell off because he left. Petrino left like in the middle of the season.
It was
basically
a cluster the whole way. Yeah. All right, so that was my first.
Saban, Saban had two mediocre years, but. Yeah, he didn't, like, shame his family.
Yeah. All right, that was my first house cleaning issue. My second one, okay. You know, listeners have posted in the Facebook group from time to time new cereals or cereals they recommend, and this is one they actually recommended. Ooh. Mm-hmm. I finally got around to it this week, and I need to give the strongest possible endorsement to chocolate peanut butter Cheerios.
Oh, okay, so that we considered that for the cereal tournament. I don't know why it didn't make it. I think maybe it got mentioned
famously,
too late.
You know, you're anti all chocolate because, you know, you have some kind of mental disorder. Mm-hmm. I'm anti chocolate cereal, cocoa cereal, because it tastes fake to me. But the peanut butter, first of all, peanut butter is always great. If you remember in the tournament, we had those Reese's peanut butter cereal. What was it called again? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that one was my favorite one, actually. It shocked me how good it was. And so anytime you have peanut butter and chocolate, it's obviously a good combo, including in cereal. Cheerios alone, you know, plain Cheerios made the Final Four tournament. So Cheerios is obviously a winner all the time. So the peanut butter chocolate Cheerios is a tremendous cereal, and I will definitely be buying more boxes of it. So I give a strong endorsement. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more endorsement. I'm going to give a book recommendation.
Oh, okay.
I haven't given one of those in a while. So, you know, usually the way I work is I read like sort of two or three books at a time so that I sort of like mix it up so I don't get too bored with one.
By the way, I'm watching movies for our eventual movie rankings that are going to happen in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I watch two movies at a time. I watch like 10 minutes, and the first second I get bored, I switch to the other movie.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth.
I've watched the first 20 minutes of like five or six movies in the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
You know, if a movie doesn't suck me in by the 20-minute mark, I'm cutting bait.
I think that's fair.
So, yeah. So I'm reading, I'm not reading, the books I'm reading right now are not great. I'm reading this, like this dual biography about Churchill and Orwell. Not such a great book. I've read other better Churchill books, and the Orwell version is basically like a Wikipedia entry. It's not good. But as sort of in a to clean my palate, I started reading Mark Leibovich's book, Big Game, his NFL book that came out a couple weeks
ago. Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Phenomenal. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not reading that book, I don't know what to say.
It seems like it came and went. That's interesting that you're saying it's
hilarious.
So good.
He is one of the funniest writers I've ever read.
Who's the bad guy? Is Goodell the bad guy?
I mean, there's no... Okay, so he spends a lot of time with Roger Goodell and Jane Goodell and Jerry Jones, Arthur Blank, Rob Kraft, Tom Brady. And so he's very... I would say he's fair. He's sort of... let me give you a quick excerpt about Goodell. So we all know the famous story about when, you know, they had the pizzas delivered and no one touched the pizza because Goodell wouldn't eat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that famous story at that meeting? So... But Mark Leibovich goes a bit deeper and gives a deeper explanation for why Goodell didn't eat it, which is Goodell doesn't like pizza. In fact, Goodell is anti all cheese. All right, let me read your quick little excerpt here. Goodell does not, in fact, care for pizza himself. He was turned off to cheese in general at an early age after he accidentally bit into an individually wrapped piece of American cheese that still had the plastic wrap on it. It disgusted LaRoge and apparently soured him on the pleasures of cheese forever. And this explains everything about everything, or perhaps nothing at all. I just love that. So the whole book is sort of like very tongue-in-cheek, sort of like that. At one point, there's one of the other owners says that Dan Snyder has his face buried in Jerry Jones's colon.
Okay.
And Leibovitz adds in parentheses, normally I would not include such a gross and unsourced slander in a mature and dignified book such as this one, but that image is irresistible. So the whole book is it's very, very funny. You get to learn a lot about, well, mostly the five people I just mentioned. It's really Goodell, Jones, Kraft, and Brady are sort of the four main characters of the book. But it's funny, these people gave him so much access. He spent so much time hanging out with them. And so you really learn an incredible amount about who they are.
All right, I'm going to check out this book.
Yeah, so Big Game by Mark Leibovitz. Definitely, if you are an NFL fan, then you should read the book. It's very entertaining. And you'll learn a little bit more than you wanted to know about some of the owners, because these guys really, like, I mean, they don't hide anything. Kraft keeps going off the record, Leibovitz talks about. But Jerry Jones, yeah. There's no off the record with Jerry Jones.
Right.
Like, Jerry Jones used to be a shoe salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to masturbate into the shoes he was selling.
What?
Exactly. Jerry drinks a big pint of Johnny Walker Blue, and he just starts telling you how he feels about things. So,
yeah.
So that's my book recommendation. Mark Leibovitz, Big Game.
All right. Yeah. That's a good recommendation. No, that sounds good.
Yeah. All right. We should probably talk at some point about the divisional games last week, right?
Well, I mean, it's already Tuesday. There's not much. I mean... My main point was I fell asleep watching Saints Eagles, right?
Which was the only good game. So did I, by the way. Yeah, I slept almost the first half of that game.
When I woke up, I put it on in the morning on Game Pass. And when the Saints were driving, I said to myself, like, well, if, you know, on the really long drive when they're down
14-10, whatever it was.
Yeah, 14-10, whatever. And I said, like, you know, if they score a touchdown, like, they're winning this game. And if they don't, they're going to lose. But if they score a field goal, they're down one. They're probably going to lose. Like, it was so apparent on every play, like, that drive was the whole game. There were about six times on the drive where almost any quarterback would have just been, you know, like, that would have been it. Breeze and also Thomas made so many plays. I do think, like, even though there aren't a lot of amazing storylines, like, with the Chiefs-Rams, you would have... I want to rank the storylines in a minute, like, in terms of from one to four, sort of Chiefs-Rams... Chiefs, Saints, Patriots, Rams, like what would be the most optimal for, you know, that we would care about. But I do think, like, Breeze, in a weird way, being already like the all-time leading passer in the NFL, like, could have this coming out party where he becomes immortal by winning a second Super Bowl. You know?
Okay. You know, I
this
read
year,
your quarterback
Breeze was such
rankings
a second was such
a couple weeks ago. And I had him all the way at number three all time behind Manning and Brady.
But if you had said that in September,
I always had like the Dan Marino section, like 7, 8, 9. But I think actually, statistically, frankly, he's right up there with Manning and Brady. He really is.
Yeah, but if you had said that in August 31st before the season, people would have laughed at you. And now, it's not such a hot take, especially if he could somehow win a second.
Yeah. Now, I mean, he hasn't been in playoffs nearly as much as you're one of them, and hasn't had success that either one.
Who
of
do you
has
think?
Had.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think there's very. I mean, I saw a lot of Dan Marino's career. Like, I wouldn't put Breeze over Marino. I mean, a lot of Breeze has so many.
You are
weapons.
Like the biggest Marino stan as a Jets fan, just because you were so afraid.
Yeah, but
of
you
him.
Also like you didn't really watch him play. Like, yeah. People watch him play. Like, no, oh yeah, Marino had no talent his whole career. On the rest
of
the team,
Marino in '84 was incredible, and then it was sort of downhill ever since then. And by the mid '90s,
downhill
he
for
was
his roster, not for his team. Would you say Thomas is the best receiver in the NFL right now?
No, not even close. And I saw, like, so? Mina... No, first of all, Tyreek Hill is much, much better among the final four teams.
Do you think Tyreek Hill's better than Michael Thomas? If you had a 3rd and 16, you'd rather try and get the ball to Hill than Thomas?
If you, which player would I rather have on my team? It's Tyreek Hill, and it's not close.
Okay. And so
Mike Thomas is a
top-end
receiver.
You'd take Antonio Brown over him, right?
Yeah, I would take Antonio Brown over him. I'd take Julio over him.
Okay. Odell?
I would... with Odell, it's always hard to separate the receiver from the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, like, has Drew Brees had...
And you're saying Eli is so good.
Yeah. Has Drew Brees had a great receiver in his career? Marcus Colson, I don't even think ever made a Pro Bowl, which is, he probably deserved one.
Marcus Colson never made a Pro Bowl? Are you sure about that?
I think, if I'm mistaken, him and Joey Galloway are, like, my best receivers to never make a Pro Bowl.
That is crazy. You know where Marcus Colson went to college?
Hofstra or something like that?
Yeah, Hofstra, which no longer exists.
Yeah. No longer.
I mean, Hofstra exists, but not the football team. The football team stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you are right. Marques Colston never made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. By the way, you didn't expect me to know where he went to college, did you?
No, I was a little bit
surprised. I only know that because a guy in my fantasy football league who was a big Hofstra stan, so.
Hofstra football? Was he devastated when they...
Yeah. I mean, look, Mike Thomas, I saw what he did to the Vikings in the Minneapolis Miracle game when the Saints were down 20-0 at halftime. In the third quarter, he scored a touch. He got Xavier Rhodes so pissed off by doing an illegal hit on Andrew Sandejo that he, you know, got Xavier Rhodes distracted. He ended up scoring 2 touchdowns in their late comeback. You know, I had him in fantasy this year in our legal leagues. He's very, very good. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think
Colston, until his last year, was incredibly consistent. He had over 900 yards all but 1 year. Yeah. But he never got higher than – he had 1-1202. He only had one year.
But making the Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything because everybody makes the Pro Bowl. So that's why it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising. I'm just saying – although
receivers are less likely – like quarterbacks, none of them are showing up to the Pro Bowl, the veterans. Mm-hmm. I feel like receivers, you know, have no reason not to show up. So.
Right, but, yeah, they're not going to get hurt. Yeah. And running back, I don't want to take like an extra
12. Yeah, so but let me ask you. So when the Eagles got the ball back on that drive, you thought they were going to drive and score and win, right?
Yes, just because, not because of logic, just because of the Eagle magic.
Yeah, and I still don't understand. I mean, not that this is why it happened, but I don't understand why with the play with like 2:03 to go, why are they doing that snap on the play that ended the interception? You're already in Saints territory. You have a couple timeouts. You have all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go that quickly, right? You don't want to score and give Breeze any time left. I mean, again, if we learn any lessons from Minneapolis Miracle, where there were, what, 3 scores in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that part surprised me a little bit. But look, it's hard to feel bad for Eagles fans. They just won the Super Bowl. It's hard to feel happy for Saints fans. I'm desperately rooting for the Chiefs. I mean, you talked about ranking all 4 of the well, let's just finish talking about these matchups. So the weekend started with AC blowing out Indy. And after a tough wild card week, I was really happy to start things out on a hot point because this was my strongest take. I have a confidence pool where I had KC covering the spread as my number one confidence pick of all the entire playoff, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, good, I'm back on top, I know what I'm doing. And then I was wrong with like every other game the rest of the weekend. So, well, the Chargers-Cowboys game, I wasn't wrong. Or the Rams,
the
Cowboys
hyperbole
game,
that came from Bill Simmons about the Colts, like he was calling them like the best 6 seed of all time.
It just made no sense. And also, he was so down on KC. I thought KC should have been the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
And they look good.
I don't understand the hate on KC. Like, okay, their run defense isn't great, but you know, the Rams and the Saints don't have incredible defenses either, and the Chiefs' offense is better, I think. I think Mahomes is so uniquely dangerous. And Tyreek Hill, again, I think, is the best receiver alive for sure in the playoffs. Travis Kelce is the best tight end. I mean, they have so many weapons. It doesn't,
you don't think Robert Woods is the best receiver? Because I believe Troy Aikman said that.
Yeah, he said Robert Woods, when you take everything into account, is the best receiver in football. That was a strong take.
To be fair, CTE.
Yeah, the Cowboys-Rams game was annoying because I had the Cowboys covering 7.5. On sort of a late garbage time cover, and they would have had it if they would have went for 2. I just can't fathom. You're down 15, you score a touchdown. You need 2 touchdowns and a 2-point conversion. And if you miss the 2-point conversion, you're going to need a third score. You need to know if you're going to need a third score. So obviously you go for 2 on the first score. It was just insane.
Right.
That Jason Garrett kicks the extra point. I was rooting for a situation where the Cowboys would get the ball back, drive down, have like a 4th and 10 from the 20. Situation, mm-hmm. where obviously if you were down 9, you kick a field goal where they'd go for it and miss. In other words, I wanted it to be a situation where they would lose because of their stupid decision. But Anyway. So yeah, so that game, there were no surprises. The Chargers-Patriots game, really, you know, I was very, very wrong. I thought the Chargers were better. I thought they would win.
I think if they played that game 10 times, I think the Chargers win 3 or 4 times. I just think everything that could go wrong went wrong for them in that game.
What was it, 35-7 at halftime? It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. What the Chargers had a top 10 defense.
Yeah, I said to the people I was watching that game with, like, if you didn't watch football all year and you saw the Chargers play, you'd be like, is this a 2-14 team? Like, they literally showed nothing the whole day. Yeah. Like, the game was probably less close than the final score indicated. Like, definitely was. They showed nothing. Like, Rivers looked old and washed up, and they didn't have any exciting skill position players doing anything. And the defense, I mean, the Patriots were lucky. You know, the Chargers were lucky. The Patriots punted twice or whatever.
Yeah.
That being said, can I drop my first hot take now that we touched on all 4 games?
Yeah, let's hear the hot take.
I think the Patriots go into KC this week and win. I'm certain the Patriots are going to win that game.
I don't even think that's a hot take. I think that's what most hot take artists are saying.
Okay.
Well, I'm definitely
only,
on the upside of that.
Two options. I think I have the Patriots by 42.
Wow. No, okay. No, yeah. Really. I have.
But
Kansas
when
City
I gave you We did this game where you got to pick five teams early in the season, and I got the other 27. Do you remember the five teams you got?
Oh, did we do that this year? No, I don't remember. Yeah. Who did I take?
Did you write it down?
I mean, if we did it, I would have. I got to go find it.
We did do it, yeah. We did it like a couple weeks into the season.
Okay, who did I take?
We had an argument like, I think I wouldn't take it at six, and you took it at five. And
all right, who are my five teams?
My question is, do you have all four teams remaining? Because you might.
Do you remember who I took or no?
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, I don't remember having done this, so.
Someone might have written it down in the group. If you remember, or if you could track it down, if you're a listener, then.
I mean, I have to imagine I definitely would have had I think I would have had all four of these teams, because these were like the four favorites, right, early in the season.
Yeah, it's very, you might have had these four and the Chargers or something.
Like, well, it was like week two, I probably said the Vikings.
I don't think you picked the Vikings at all.
Hopefully.
It might have been like week four or five already. Yeah, so if someone remembers, right. Yeah, so are you picking the Chiefs or the Patriots, though, in that case?
I'm picking the Chiefs. I'm giving the points. I think that it should be a lot more than three. I think the Chiefs are a much better team. I think I understand the Patriots are a public team, and they have Tom Brady and Belichick, and the Chiefs have Andy Reid in a first-year quarterback. But the Chiefs are just a far, far better team. The Patriots, like the top three teams all year, or top four, really, were the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, and the Chargers. And then it was a drop, and then it was like the Bears, and then it was a drop, and then it was the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots were just, they weren't a very good team this year. They really weren't. Their defense is not good. Their second, again, shut down the Chargers. I don't understand how that happened. I don't think they're going to shut down Kansas City. I also think playing the Chargers in their 20th straight road game is a little bit different than facing Kansas City at home.
Yeah.
You know, people are making a big deal that 43-40 game that the Patriots won. First of all, that was in New England. Right.
Yeah. As people pointed out, this game would be in New England if not for the Hail Mary, the Adam Gase play. This game would be in New England this week.
Well, yeah, but if not for, you can flip a lot of one game here and there over the course of the
season.
But
that was the craziest play the whole season. So yeah, I think that was the first one you flip.
Yeah. So I think Kansas City's going to win this one pretty easily. The other game is a really tough one. The other game, I'm going to pick the Saints, but I'm going to give the points, try and hedge it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. The truth is, in our pool of pools, hedging really is the play for a lot of these games, because you lock into 1-1, and then you have a chance at 2-0.
Well, it depends. I told you, one guy picked the Cowboys to win, but the Rams to cover 7.5.
That's an anti-hedge, no?
Yeah, that's like if the Rams win by 1 through 7 points, you go 0-2.
But if you're trying to win the pool, then maybe doing something crazy that nobody else picking, then nobody else.
No,
picks.
If you want to win the pool, you got to win all three. You can't hedge if you want to win
right.
the pool. Yeah.
Right. I think the trick is you go to two. You're trying to.
Well, the trick is to wait until the fourth quarter of the game and then submit your.
Nice.
And then you go 3-0, shockingly. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about storyline. So personally, of course, I hate the Patriots and I hate the Saints. So I want to see Kansas City at the Rams, but I understand nationally that the top story would have to be Breeze versus Brady, right?
Yeah, I think if you gave McManus, whoever the head of CBS Sports is, like truth serum, I think he'd say Brady Breeze. I do think if you listen to Francesa with Bill Simmons this past week, which is always a delight, just two alpha males going at it on a Friday,
two football experts.
Yeah, the two guys who watch the most tape. I think there is a Patriots fatigue, but is there an excitement about, you know, the Rams at all in their home city?
The Rams teams, the Rams are distant fourth. First of all, nobody even knows where they play. My wife was shocked to hear that they play in Los Angeles now.
Yeah, well, Dr. Jen doesn't,
exactly. They have no fans. Like, I was actually wondering this last week. I was wondering.
They have infinitely more fans than the Chargers, which is.
I was wondering what was going to happen during a Rams game or a Chargers game, you know, like at the end of the championship game or the Super Bowl, when the owner says, like, we did this for the fans, the best fans, in football. No owner or player on Chargers or Rams would make that claim because it's so obviously laughable, right? So I kind of want to see the Rams win just because I want to see, like, what we did this for ourselves and 14,000 people in Los Angeles who care about our team. Like, I mean, you know, what are you going to say? So that would be kind of funny, right? The Rams are not going to travel well. Kansas City, I think, is still a story because Mahomes has been the story of the season. He's a breakout rookie. Andy Reid, I mean, these are known quantities. Right.
Yeah, but you know, we never discussed the LA thing, the possibility that the Rams, you know, had the Saints lost this week, the Rams and the Chargers, obviously that would have, you know, it would have the Chiefs would have had to lose. You know, basically every matchup would have had to be flipped this past week. Yeah. But except the Rams winning.
Well, now we get the Missouri battle between the Chiefs and the Rams.
Right, but the chance of the Rams and the Chargers hosting championship games on the same day would have been a big mess.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would have only happened if the Colts had won. So, but yeah.
Right, yeah, obviously. I'm saying, like, everything other than the Rams winning would have had to be flipped.
How would it be a mess? Like, 20,000 people are going to that Chargers game. It's not the traffic.
But it's the same stadium.
No, they're not playing in the same stadium. What are you talking about?
Oh, right. The Rams are. I made this mistake before, right? The Rams are playing in the Coliseum right now.
Yeah, the
right?
Rams play Coliseum, and the Chargers play in that 30,000 per soccer stadium. Yeah.
So maybe it wouldn't have been a mess. I mean, it would have been a traffic mess, but
LA is always a traffic mess. Yeah. So what's your for the late game then?
So what's the line? 2.5.
Well, I thought the line was 3.5.
No, it's 3.5. Yeah. Yeah, I like if I pick the Rams, I'm going to regret saying that Jared Goff's going to go into New Orleans and meet Drew Brees.
Yeah,
you know, like McVay's a great coach, but one of the things that great coaches do is they destroy bad coaches, and Peyton's not a bad coach.
Is Todd Gurley all the way back, or is it that is C.J. Anderson playing just because he's been playing well? So why not?
I think both. I think he's not all the way back, and it's like, you know, and it's I don't know.
Yeah,
let's you know remember this conversation when the Jets in a month spent $18 million a year on Le'Veon Bell, you know, with C.J. Anderson and Damian Williams are like going to play in the Super Bowl against each other.
Updating my teams of the decade, my all deck team in football. Mm-hmm. So obviously, there's one more year of the decade to go. But and by the way, there's a very close race for quarterback between Brady, Brees, and Rodgers.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan coming in a fourth. But,
well, I'd imagine Rodgers is a little bit behind them in games played just because he's missed so many more games.
Yeah, Rodgers is basically a full season of games.
Because Brady's injury was before the decade even. So Brady hasn't missed a game other than the suspension. He hasn't missed a game due to injury.
So Rodgers has 14 games fewer than Brady, 16 games fewer than Brees.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, yeah. So his numbers are a little bit worse.
Can you read us the team of the decade? I would like to hear it.
Sure. Okay, so quarterback, I have, here's my number one, I have Brady, number two, I have Brees, number three, I have Rodgers, four, I have Matt Ryan, five, I have Roethlisberger, six, I have Rivers, seven, Russell Wilson, who, you know, just had played.
No, but I want to hear, I want to hear like the rest of the team. I want to hear like the running backs and the linemen. I don't want to hear every quarterback.
Okay. Well, so here's the thing. Because I'm going to have to redo this next year when it's actually done, I was actually wondering, why am I doing this right now? So I actually stopped after the skill position guys because the defensive it's so tough.
Yeah, people want to just hear the skill position.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm bringing this up is because you look at the running backs. None of them have championships, basically. Running back number one, I have
Same
Tom
thing with
McCoy.
Defense, by the way. The top four offensive teams are in the playoffs, and like the top like eight defensive teams are at home right now.
Yeah, well, but Barnwell's saying how it's the worst defensive foursome to ever.
Every team, look at the Super Bowl last year. There was no defense in the Super Bowl, even. I mean, one team had a pass rush, but neither team could cover.
Yeah.
The other than the Patriots, the other three teams each average over 31 points a game in the Pats.
Yeah, but then that's what we want to see. Like, you know, again, that Rams Chiefs game was amazing. That Rams Saints game was amazing. That Patriots Chiefs game was amazing.
Right. The problem is the offenses are so great. We're going to see a blowout. One of these three games is just one offense is just going to have an off day where like they don't convert a few early third downs. You look up and it's 42-14.
The Patriots did not play the Saints, but the other four teams left. They played each other, and in those three games, none of them had fewer than 75 points scored. Right, even fewer than 80 points scored. So
we're probably going to get a classic at some point in these next three.
All right, so my running backs and I'm counting the decade. I start with the year 2010, so it's 2010 through 2019. Obviously, one to go. I have a Shady McCoy number one over Adrian Peterson.
It's kind of a surprise. That's almost a war of attrition.
Well,
Shady McCoy wins.
Well, you would say that,
he passed because he's probably not going to be playing or at least relevant next year.
McCoy has two full seasons more than Peterson, but also actually. Yards per game, McCoy is at 101.4, Peterson's at 99.3.
LeSean McCoy, just rushing over
100 rushing
yards
and receiving, yards per scrimmage.
Okay. Well, Le'Veon's probably over 100, no?
Le'Veon's at 129. It's by far the most. But Le'Veon's played five. He's only played 62 games.
Yeah.
So, he's played. So, Shady 1, Peterson 2, Matt Forte 3, former Jet. Marshawn Lynch 4, he won a title, obviously. Arian Foster 5, Le'Veon Bell 6. Frank Gore, 7. Now, that's just a war. I mean, he's just chugging along with, 1,000 yards a year, basically. Yeah. DeMarco Murray, 8. Todd Gurley, only 4 seasons. I rate him at number 9. I have Jamal Charles, 10. Mark Ingram, 11. Ray Rice, 4 seasons in and 12. Then, you know, keeps going up. Wide receivers, a lot more, you know, wide receivers and quarterbacks obviously last a lot longer than running backs. So wide receivers are much more impressive. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, only six seasons, but really good. AJ Green, Larry Fitz, Demaryius Thomas, you know, obviously he just benefited a lot from playing with Peyton Manning for a couple of years there. Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall, I think, is not going to get in the Hall of Fame. I think he should.
No, he's not going to get in.
Yeah, but he should.
And he has the added bonus. Well, he does. It's funny because he is a weird sort of dichotomy where it's like he was sort of unpopular with the media, but now he's in the media.
But also, here's the thing. He went from team to team. He never had a quarterback. I mean, he played in Miami, Chicago, the Jets, the Giants. Like, where did he get a good quarterback?
Yeah.
He never did. And so, you know, it's very impressive what he did. Again, a lot of these guys are catching balls from Hall of Fame most of their career. You know, Brown, Julio, and... So, yeah, then I have DeAndre Hopkins, Jordy Nelson. Again, just I think he benefited a lot from Rodgers. T.Y. Hilton, DeSean Jackson, who's still kicking. Mike Wallace, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, Doug Baldwin, Reggie White. You know, go on down the list. So that's where it is with 1 year to go. So at those three positions. And then my coach of the decade, not hard to guess, he was the same coach of the decade last decade.
Wow, Bill Belichick gets two coach of the decades. Has anybody ever gotten two coach of the decades before?
I'd have to go back and check. The Football Hall of Fame, which does all decade teams, they actually gave it to Brady over Manning for quarterback last decade, which to me is insane.
Yeah, the first decade. Like, at least if Brady has five Super Bowls, fine. But he had three. Manning had one.
Yeah, but Manning also had, like, six MVPs, and Brady had one. Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of nuts.
We discussed a couple weeks ago. Manning, if you NBA-ify the NFL MVPs, it really hurts Brady.
Yeah.
Of course, winning 28 playoff games helps.
You know who my number three coach of the deck, and this is purely based on the team's performance, not what I think of him as a coach, obviously, is Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
I mean, look, he won, you know, he went 10-6 every year, basically, for nine straight years. He won a Super Bowl. He won a bunch of playoff games.
So, I have Saints-Patriots. You have Saints-Chiefs, right?
As what I predict to happen? Yeah, I predict to be Saints-Chiefs. And I still.
And if you remember, I predicted the Saints to win the Super Bowl, I think, in our preseason podcast.
Oh, I have to go back and look. I don't remember.
Well, it was Saints. I had the Texans, right? I had the Saints-Texans. I think I picked the Saints to win because I think I said that, like, the Texans was such a hot take to have them in the Super Bowl. There was no reason to have them win also.
Yeah.
Like I had the Dolphins winning 2 years ago. Yeah.
You had the Dolphins for the Cardinals that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, I nailed it.
Yeah.
Maybe this coming year.
You know, I think Andy Reid.
Kingsbury.
If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, he definitely makes the Hall of Fame. Obviously.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. I think in hindsight, he was great.
If he doesn't, he probably doesn't, right?
Yeah, probably not. Andy Reid having a meltdown this week, or even better, in 2 weeks, would be just a delight.
Oh, that's so
like
mean.
I would feel bad for him, but like, oh boy, like, you know, the Skip Bayless of the world would be able to feed their family for 5 years based on this.
Of course, the hot takes.
If he's going to screw up the timeouts in the Super Bowl or at the end of like, I mean, this is the biggest game in, you know, the Chiefs have played since Super Bowl IV.
Yeah,
literally. I mean, they have not hosted a conference championship game ever. They didn't even host that year when they I guess they went. They beat the Jets on the road. Was there? Did they play two playoff games that year? I don't remember. I know they beat the Jets, but
So I'm actually looking to see how many Hall of Fame coaches did not win a Super Bowl or a championship.
Yeah.
So there's the two obvious ones in my head, but there's a third one who I was surprised by. So you want to guess the three?
Okay. So there's also somebody who's like Coryell right now is, I think, in the semifinalists, right? He's in the final 15.
Yeah. And if he gets in, a travesty, but yeah.
But he's in as not as a great coach, but as an innovator. So it's not even a travesty. Like, he innovated. He just shouldn't be competing against, like, you know, the like centers and
yeah, but guards. As a head coach, he never even made a Super Bowl, so please.
Okay, but he's not. He
won three playoff games. He was barely above 500 for his career. Innovator. Well, okay. Anyway, all right. Okay, so okay, who are the three coaches right now in the Hall of
Chuck
Fame?
Chuck Knox.
Chuck Knox.
Oh, he won a Super Bowl. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me think.
I thought two of them were super obvious.
Never won a Super Bowl or never won a championship?
A championship, obviously, yeah. There's a lot of guys in the pre-Super Bowl era.
Okay, yeah.
By the way, Chuck Knox did not win a Super Bowl, but he's not in the Hall of Fame, so.
Okay. What's his name? George Allen, Bud Allen, whatever his name is.
Okay, so that was the hard one. You got George Allen. I don't know how you got that one.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to think of teams that were in the Super Bowl multiple.
Well, the other two were obvious then to me.
Okay, fine.
Maybe not.
Dan Reeves?
No, it's the two guys who lost four Super Bowls. Bud Grant and Marv Levy.
Oh, okay, Marv. I was going to get to Marv.
And Bud Grant. So, because
three guys, I thought.
Yeah, I said three. Bud Grant, Marv Levy. George Allen. That's three.
Oh, okay, fine. Oh, but Dan Reeves is not in the Hall of Fame?
No, not in the Hall of Fame. And he's not going to make the Hall of Fame. Guys like him and Schottenheimer do not make the Hall of Fame, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so
yeah,
Andy
Schottenheimer never coached in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm actually looking. Dan Reeves went 11-9 in the playoffs. Schottenheimer went 5-13 in the playoffs. So that's right. A big difference. But Schottenheimer was three-time coach of the year. Dan Reeves, four times coach of the year. Yeah, but the point is, guys like that do not make the Hall of Fame. And I think that, fair or unfair, Andy Reid is in that boat. Mm-hmm. The guys who made the Hall of Fame, as I said, they each made it to four Super Bowls and lost. And then George Allen, I don't know what the hell he's in there, honestly. He's the worst coach in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think Andy Reid's in that situation. But I think once he wins the Super Bowl, then I think he makes the Hall of Fame. Although, Mike Holmgren isn't in the Hall of Fame yet. I don't understand that.
And by the way, Reeves went 0-4 in the Super Bowl. I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't do it with one team, right?
But that's true. Yeah, he lost Super Bowls with the Broncos. Oh, he lost Super Bowl with the Falcons also. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he made the playoffs with the Giants, but he didn't make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so you're saying that he could be,
No, but he could have been on that list. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm saying
he's yeah, well, I mean, also, really like, Budkett's winning percentage for his career was 62%. And Reeves was at 53%, so pretty
good
difference.
Yeah, he just won a little bit more than he lost. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he did make four Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Surprised there's not like, he seems like the type of guy who would have like eight kids who are coaches. There would be like, you know, Brian Reeves. Bryant Reeves, Big Country.
Yeah, there's just so many other, coaches with kids running around. I'm surprised there's,
It is true.
Yeah.
The Jets look like they're going to hire Greg Williams. What are you going to do next year? You're going to root against the Jets every week?
You hire Greg Williams, I root against you. Sorry.
What if they just hired Blake Williams, his idiot son?
I don't understand. So Gary Kubiak is brought into Denver to be the offensive coordinator for Fangio, and he wants
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Brian Reeves. We just talked about Big Country Reeves. You remember Big Country, right?
Yeah, of course. Grizzlies.
All right. I'm going to give you over under half a three in his whole career. Did Big Country Reeves, in his 6-year career, hit a 3-pointer?
No.
No, he had two. He was 2 for 27.
Oh, wow. Well, that's tough.
I mean, the problem with the 3-point stats for guys like that is that they include heaves.
What they all are. I'll ask another question. Did he ever take three with more than 5 seconds on quarter clock or shot clock? No,
I mean,
there's no chance.
Maybe like falling out of bounds and tosses it.
No, there's no chance. I want to see the play-by-play. Did he ever attempt a three with more than 2 seconds on a shot clock or a game clock? I would say no.
Played in the 90s, so it would be hard to... I'm going to have to go find the play. Like, I will find
I'm going to go look it up after we record this podcast. I'll post it in the Facebook group.
What, the Big Country 3? Well, he took 27, so.
And I'm going to put this out. A Facebook listener, maybe we don't actually have to do it. If a Facebook listener provides a video evidence of Bryant Reeves attempting a three in normal gameplay, not just heaving it up as the clock expires, I will send them $7.42 on Venmo.
Well, what's 742? Is that your favorite number?
No, it's a number that came into my head.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Am I a listener? Am I eligible for this?
You get 42 cents. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's also like we always owe each other like thousands of dollars, so it's less fun if you gave me like...
Yeah.
If you just handed me $10, I'd be like, sweet. But if you just like updated your stupid Google form, it's like, now you owe me
$40. No, I literally owe you $3,247.50.
Okay.
Although you owe me money from bets we made. So actually, I should... Folded it. I think I'd come.
I think. All right. I think we said if it hits 100, then
it doesn't become applicable yet. Yeah. All right. All right, Akiv. So we got our last regular football Sunday of the season left. We got two games.
Well, so do we have to talk about what do we do? Our famous, Riverdale week. What do we do next week
for the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Do we go all out on the Pro Bowl?
Like no, because I'd have to watch it. I don't think I've ever watched the full Pro Bowl.
Full
the Pro Bowl, actually, I think at least went back to AFC, NFC, which I hate. Like, I hate the fact that the NBA, like, at least it's like, oh, you turn in, there's a team to root for. Like, oh, well, my team's in the West.
Yeah, Team Jerry versus team. It was stupid. It was 13, 14, 15. The NFL went away from it. It was bad.
Yeah, but the NBA, at least, you know what the NBA should do now that they have, like, Giannis and Jokic and all these people? They should go U.S. versus the world.
They still can't do that, though, because there's not 12 world guys who deserve to make it.
Yeah, and also it's a problem with the union because voting still would have to go through East and West, and then they'd sort of have to have guys not, it doesn't really
work. That's what I'm saying. They wouldn't have 12 and 12 in terms of the actual teams. And if you force it.
You need to get to like 30 also. Right, who would, I mean.
You know, really hockey by the hockey would do North America versus the world. It should have been Canada versus the world because the Americans should have been on the international to make it more balanced.
That's true. That's
true. Want to be too, you know.
Right. Canada versus U.S. is automatically better, although Russia's getting really good. U.S. is excellent, too. The U.S was really robbed a chance of not having guys in the Olympics last year to become household names.
Yeah, but if you took the deserving all-stars in the NHL, it's still at least 50% Canadian.
Ooh, I wonder if that's true. The NHL All-Star Game, I don't think they've announced who's in it yet, have they? It's pretty soon. The NHL All-Star Game. It's like next week.
Honestly, this time of year, the extent of hockey fandom is...
No, I know. I was looking at like the name of the guy who was leading the league, and I asked a bunch of like sports fans, like, what team is this guy who's leading the NHL in scoring on?
Yeah, but hockey fans and sports fans are slightly different groups. It's sort of like MMA fans and sports fans.
Yeah, that's not a crazy take. I think I tweeted about this, but I loved Klosterman's take on the Simmons podcast where he said that there's no casual MMA fans. Like you either watch everything or you just watch Conor McGregor once a year or that's it. You know, nobody's just like tuning in one week and out the next.
I think the only MMA fight I ever watched was what was his name? Guy who was a homeless guy he had the great beard, Kimbo. Yeah, Kimbo Slice. Yeah, yeah.
R.I.P. Kimbo. Yeah. He
had the 15-second fight and he said we're gonna have the after party. It was legendary. It was on a Saturday night.
He lost it was under 15 seconds. He lost to a guy, Petruzzelli, I remember, with like crazy hair, who was like a light heavyweight even, and was like the guy who he was going to fight, who was like handpicked for him to beat, like failed a physical or a drug test or something. So he lost.
Do you remember that legendary post-fight interview he gave?
Yeah. He was like, who's still going to party?
Yeah, he's like, it's still good. We're still going to have the after party.
Oh, so you know what they do? They do four divisions.
Good lesson in life.
So how about this? Okay, can you keep the track here? So the Atlantic Division has four Canadians, four Americans, and three Euros, okay?
Okay.
The Central Division has four Canadians, two Americans, and five Euros. Three of them finish. Pacific is four Americans, and three Euros. And then three. Yeah, so they're not, they have less than half the league, but I guess close.
But that's actually amazing how many Americans are making it.
Yeah, there are, and I don't know if this goes by voting, there are 13 Americans in the All-Star game. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I told you, the Americans are really... Austin Matthews should be a star. Patrick Kane already is a star.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are goalies. Gibson's a goalie. Two. Gibson and Jimmy Howard. Seth Jones, that's Popeye's kid. He's in the All-Star game. Clayton Keller, I think he's like... he's on the Coyotes. How about this? Is this a real person who's in the NHL All-Star game, okay?
Give it to you.
All right. Danny Smith with a Y.
Yes.
Okay. Leon Draisaitl.
What is he? He's from Switzerland? I'll say yes.
Yeah. Danny Smith is not in the All-Star game. Leon Draisaitl is a German player on the Oilers who's in the All-Star game.
Ah, Swiss-German. Close enough.
Okay. Sebastian O'Hooligan.
No.
Yeah, there is a Sebastian Aho, though.
No, there's nobody named Hooligan.
A Hooligan.
In the NHL. Oh, Hooligan. Oh, I see.
Roman Josi.
I don't know. I can only think of Josi Altidore. Roman Josi.
Yeah. Roman Josi. Is Roman Josi in the All-Star game?
I'm going to say no.
Devin Dubnyk.
Yeah. He was on the Wild, so I know him.
Oh, yeah, he's literally your team's goalie. You should know. Yeah. Yeah, Roman Josi is defender for Johnny De Silvera's Nashville Predators. He's,
okay.
Thomas Chabot.
Chabot. Sounds like a Simpsons name. All right, this is boring. Honestly, if anybody tuned in,
people like
if anybody's
this.
Still
people
listening.
Is Thomas Chabot in the NFL? I mean, in the NHL. Thomas Chabot.
He's a two-sport star.
I'm going to give you three names. You tell me which one's real, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll go. Thomas Chabot, Jeff Skinner, and Mark Scheifele. Which of those three guys is in the NHL All-Star game?
Jeff Skinner is too obvious. I mean, it's too plain, too regular, so I'm going to say Jeff
Thomas
Skinner.
Thomas Chabot, Jeff Skinner, Mark Scheifele.
I'm going with Jeff Skinner.
All three of them are in the All-Star game.
Listen, we're hockey experts.
Yes, we should start a hockey podcast.
Yeah.
You know how like Rob and I had people on, two girls on who came on and like... explain Harry Potter. We should have that with the NHL, like midseason. Like, tell us the storylines and stuff.
On this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do like college football with us, Profan.
Yeah, well, like, we need a Robbie for hockey.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get like 20 people volunteering. We don't. Here's the thing, nobody would listen. Like, don't volunteer to be that guy because we're not going to do it. Nobody would listen. But we do need an idea for next week. I don't think we're up to the movie one yet, unless you want to do the movie podcast next week.
No, we do it right before the Oscars, usually, I think.
Yeah. So we need...
I've been powered up. I've been watching lots of movies, though.
We also have... Oh, that's good. We do have an idea. We have Putting the Ringer Through the Ringer, that idea where Rob comes on and we just read whatever's on the ringer that day and make fun of it.
Yeah. Well, we have that other idea for your other podcast, although it's really... It's the kind of thing that would have fit really well in this podcast.
What? What's the idea?
The theme songs. TV theme songs. The tournament.
Yeah, but I think that's good to have that on the other one, because that'll... Yeah.
I mean, it's really... That's almost
on.
Like a cross. I mean, that's really like a duel.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times...
You're on it. So
when a guy comes on another podcast, and then both people put it on their feeds, that kind of thing.
No, I don't think you have rights. No, with 32 fans does not have rights.
No, I don't... I'm not saying we need to, but yeah, if you're 32 fans listener, die hard, and you're not listening to Renap, you can make special exception for that episode. All right, that's enough.
All right, yeah.
Hopefully the Patriots lose this week, and we can come back and not piss roll for the next 2 weeks.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.